It's my great pleasure to welcome in the studio Amy Pettit for another edition of Ag Matters. Go for it, Amy. You have brought along a guest.
Yeah, I've got a great guest this morning. Good morning, everybody. This morning on Ag Matters, I have got Rochelle Plummer in the studio with me. And Rochelle is going to talk to us about the Mat-Su Farm Co-op. So welcome, Rochelle.
Good morning.
Yeah, so glad to have you here. How many years ago did I meet Rochelle? It's been quite some time ago, I think, when I was at the Division of Agriculture running the Alaska Grown Program. And I started to see these posts on social media by a person called Alaska Grown Revolution, right? And that was you, right?
Yep, that was me.
Yeah. And you were very passionate about local food and local livestock production, and you had lots of good questions. And so tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about your history and your story with local food. Let's start there.
Well, Alaskan Grown Revolution started as a Facebook page in 2008. And it grew into a situation where I was bulk buying food for local customers. I was shipping in birds. I was doing all sorts of grow your food in your own backyard type of activities. And that kind of blossomed into what I have going now as Mat-Su Farm Co-op. We do eggs and to three different retailers locally, and we are starting into broiler production.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to talk about this. So when you talk about the history a little bit more, you mentioned you were bulk buying local food. If I remember correctly, were you one of the first people that started getting Bryce Wrigley's flour products and grain products down here in the valley? Is that
yes,
true?
Yes, we yeah. would. I went up and started a relationship with Bryce, and I think I've been with him for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Introduced a lot of people to those products.
Yeah. And we still have them available at the Colony Farmers Market here at the depot.
Yeah. Another topic that you know a lot about that perhaps we could jump into, but let's get real deep into the details about this egg production. So tell me how that started. How did you decide that you wanted to be an egg producer?
It was the winter of 2015. It was really warm. We had 40 degree weather, and our chickens community-wide were overproducing. And I was selling on Craigslist, and it kind of got to the point where it was more of a hassle. So, okay. And when you have 10 extra dozen eggs a week, you know, what do you do with them?
Your family can only eat so many eggs, right?
And so what I did is we took $150 out of our savings account, and we went and bought our friends' eggs, and we made sure that they were USDA standard.
Sure.
And we took them down to the farmer's market here at the depot, and it was 20 dozen the first week, and it just
that's
blossomed
how it started.
From
yeah.
there.
Yeah. So you started by buying friends' eggs, selling them here at the market. But what are you doing now? What has that grown into 2 years later?
Now we are at, I think last week was 170 dozen to Three Bears Palmer, New Sagaya City Market, and Natural Pantry in Anchorage.
Isn't that incredible? It's just incredible. 170 dozen eggs. I am not good at math, but that's a lot of eggs and a lot of chickens, right? So how many different people here in the valley are producing eggs for the Mat-Su Farm Co-op?
Currently, we have about 20 active producers. In the middle of summer, that'll balloon up to 35 or 40 active producers. We meet up every Sunday, and I gather the eggs, and they go home with cash, and it's just right now it's easy. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Fun. Yes.
So you buy the eggs from the producers that grow them. You repackage them, right? You have clean egg cartons, and then you take them into town in those?
No, actually, our regular weekly producers, that's one of my
requirements.
The requirements is that if you're going to join, you join to be a producer every week.
Okay.
And my regular weekly producers, after we all get on the same sheet of music on what a quality egg looks like, I send them home with brand new sterile cartons. I ship in a pallet load of cartons every few months. And so they go home with a bundle and they wash and package their eggs in their own
facility or house or whatever they're doing.
And then they put their name on it. And so we track all that. And
okay. Yeah. So if I were a customer in Anchorage and I were to go to, you said Nusagaya Natural Pantry, those are the two Anchorage locations?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So if I were to go and get some Matsu Farm Co-op eggs off the shelf, somewhere on that carton, it would have the actual producer's name. Okay, uh-huh. Cool.
So that by the family, you know.
Know your farmer, know your food, right?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Okay, so as an employee of the Division of Ag for 10 years, I know that a lot of small farmers and small producers have this vision that at some point they want to be able to sell to a retail grocery store. Mm-hmm. And then they start getting in, you know, they don't know how to do it. Like, do I go to the produce manager and ask, or do I just call the store? You know, like, there's so many nuts and bolts, and do I have to have insurance, and what does my label look like? And there's all these what seem like barriers to entrance to that market, but you did it. And you're in the market now. So talk to me a little bit about that. How did that process happen for you? Or were you just super persistent?
And... No. My first call was after we outgrew the little farmer's market. I was getting more eggs in than I could sell there. I called Natural Pantry and talked to Jared for a week or two and told him what I was doing and what kind of food we used. And that was my first retailer. And because I have a background in my family was in the DEC lab here in Palmer, I kind of had an idea of, you know,
the expectations.
What things should look like. And so I started off with brand new cartons.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that became a requirement. And I had fun creating the label. And
yeah.
You know, we had to get a UPC code this last year to be in Three Bears. And so it's that part is just designing a product label and it was the fun part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Good. Well, I just love the success story side of it, that that you had a vision, you started producing eggs, and now you're in these three retailers, which, you know, not everybody can do. And lots of small producers think that it's not an option for them because there's too many barriers. But that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, is to showcase that it can be done and it has been done. And if folks are interested in egg production or increasing their egg production, you know, you would be a great resource to talk to about what that looks like. So let's talk about that a little bit. You said 170 dozen eggs a week. How many would the stores take? Like, I'm sure they fly off the shelves in town. So
yes, we are just now meeting demand. We used to deliver on Friday and we'd be sold out by Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So we're just starting to catch up, you know, because chickens fall off in the wintertime, you know. And what we strive for is consistency. Even if we were down to, you know, 2 dozen cartons a week delivered, at least our customers knew that there was something, you know?
Yeah.
And so
now when you're delivering 170 dozen, you get there and are the shelves empty, or are there still, you're right where you want to be, you think?
I'm right where I want to be.
Okay.
There might be a couple dozen, like 2 or 3 left on the shelf, and that's just perfect. I'm meeting the demand for that store.
Absolutely.
You know, at this point, if we move forward through the summer and exceed that, I will, I've been offered another Three Bears store.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
You know,
that's good.
We'll just grow a little bit at a time, you know.
Very good. Yeah, very good. Yeah, you don't want to. People often think that it's like I've heard this analogy that a farmer thinks that he's successful if he goes to the farmer's market and sells out within the first hour or two. But that's not necessarily good for your marketing, right?
No.
You want to have product the entire time that your customers are looking for product. That's successful. So that's great. I want to remind people that if it's Wednesday morning, you are listening to Ag Matters Radio, and I'm live in the studio with Rochelle Plummer. If you have questions, you can call in this morning at 745-8900, and Rochelle or I can, entertain any questions. It's rebroadcast on Friday from 12:30 to 1, and we won't be in here to answer your questions then. So now's the time. you touched on it, but I want more details about the expectations and the requirements of egg producers. They're using a standardized food, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. What are these chickens that are producing such delicious eggs? What are they eating?
We are, I run two sides of the co-op. One is a conventional feed that is produced out of Alaska Millen Feed. They don't use any antibiotics in their feed anymore, so that's good. The other side is a certified organic feed that we ship in from Washington State. Okay. And so we have both options available, you know.
What's your ratio right now, organic eggs to non-organic eggs?
I think it's 30%. We have 40 dozen organic certified. Well, they're not certified. Sure. They're organic fed.
They're fed
eggs,
organic, yeah.
And we have in going, I think, 80 dozen conventional.
Okay. So there's that demand for organic, is there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Either that or if it's not certified organic, then our local corn-free, soy-free, non-GMO is very important to people.
Absolutely. I was going to ask that. So the feed that is produced at Alaska Millen Feed, they're using some Alaska-grown inputs, right?
As
much as they can?
Yes. That's in our personal broiler brand, we have requested corn-free, soy-free, non-GMO ingredients sourced as local as much as possible.
Awesome. So you're just contributing to the success of the entire industry. You're helping those grain producers up in Delta, and that's incredible. That's probably, in my opinion, another reason why you guys have been successful, because you're utilizing as many Alaska inputs as you can. And, you know, I get the sense that when someone like you comes along and you start, you know, helping the industry, then people are like, you know, I'm going to buy her eggs because she is buying so-and-so's grain and they are buying so-and-so, you know, it's like this system and people become very loyal, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that other entrepreneurs will do the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes it can be considered easier, right, to source outside and perhaps cheaper. But, you know, I am a big champion for supporting your neighbors and getting as much local as possible. Yeah. Go ahead. Mike's got a question for us.
I was listening, fascinated by the description. And one of the questions that is still not quite answered in my mind has to do with once the egg arrives in our home.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best way to store it?
Oh, yeah. This is a hot topic, right?
And you've talked to, and along with that, you've talked about washing the eggs. And I know that in some parts of the world, in Europe, there's a different approach to how you do an egg. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. In Europe, they do not, I don't know if you can't wash an egg in Europe, but
the standard is that you don't, right?
Right, I think. But the U.S. requires the eggs to be washed. So our eggs are all hand washed before they go to the retailer. The gray area is not washing your eggs. It's the bloom on the egg that gets washed away. That's the protective layer that keeps the bacteria out of it. So in Europe, where they want to keep that layer intact, and that's how they prevent contamination. Here in the U.S., we are required to wash that away so that all of our very fresh eggs need to go in the fridge because they are washed.
Because they have been washed. So to follow up to that, and maybe this is an unfair question and you don't have to answer it, Rochelle. I was just going to say, what do you do at your house with the eggs that your family consumes? Are you an egg washer?
I have to wash my eggs because I contribute to the co-op.
Okay.
So,
yep. So
you know,
it's just standard
practice
now.
But if I wasn't contributing to the co-op, you know, eggs last a really long time.
Yeah.
Not washed.
Right.
You know, quality does not go away. Like,
I was just thinking about that because we have chickens, our own small flock, and we don't wash them. We tend to consume them pretty quickly. So they come out of the coop into the house. We don't wash them. We use them up pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
But they might be out of, maybe 2 days before they are actually consumed. So that seems to be an okay thing without a problem, as long as you haven't washed the bloom off.
Right.
If you're lucky enough to eat a 2-day-old egg in Alaska, wow. You know, I saw something once about eggs that were shipped in from the lower 48 and how old they might be. And it just was kind of mind-blowing about, yeah. Anyways, we won't get into that for too much. But so in case someone is listening on air or listening after the fact and is wondering or thinking, man, you know, I've been producing eggs and I'm ready to expand my market. Are you looking for more egg producers right now?
Yes, I'll buy them all.
Okay. And so how can they get in touch with you and where do they go for more information?
The easiest way to find me is on our Facebook page, Matsu Farm Co-op. There's a little link there. It goes directly to my cell phone.
Awesome. And I heard recently, you might not believe this, but I heard recently that there are actually some people that aren't on Facebook. So if a person is not on Facebook, if they were to Google Matsu Farm Co-op, would that get them to the right spot too?
Yes. Or Alaskan Grown Revolution.
Okay, perfect. Good. I think they're few and far between, but every once in a while, I think, you know, we got to mention that there are other ways to find people than just Facebook. Okay, good. All right. So we've touched a little bit about where the eggs are available. Which Three Bears here in the Valley carries your eggs?
Right now, just the one at Trunk Road, the Palmer one.
Okay, good. And what day do you deliver? If we want to make sure we can get in there and get eggs, what day is the best to go shop?
Friday midday.
Okay, good. That fits into my schedule well. And I've also noticed that you actually do a fairly good job of posting on Facebook when you've made deliveries, right? To let your clientele know.
Yes, that is one thing I do is a check-in at each location when we've literally dropped off the eggs. So people can potentially take their lunch break and go get their eggs and go, especially with the city market in downtown Anchorage, you know. It's such a mad rush. You know, downtown is, there's a lot of people down there. And
chaos,
so you can,
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. That's awesome. So I'm sure that your clients appreciate that, knowing when the eggs have been delivered. Good. So that's where they're available. And so we're about halfway through the show. And let's talk about a couple of the other topics that you've mentioned. What do you want to tell folks at this point about the broiler production that you mentioned?
Oh, I have baby broilers sitting in the post office.
You do?
Yes, right now. We started broiler production last June, and our broilers are a corn-free, soy-free broiler. And
so let me just interrupt you real quick in case there's someone out there that doesn't know what a broiler is. What are we talking about?
That's a chicken that's bred for meat production. We are using a free-range type chicken out of Europe, and we've opted for that over the Cornish cross. And
Cornish cross is pretty popular. That's what most people have trended to, right?
Yes, that's a standard commercial broiler that you see in the grocery store. They're all Cornish cross.
Yeah.
For the free-range natural chicken,
right.
More natural, we started that last June, and that went pretty well. The market for that, I've been selling them at the local farmers market. And here recently, we met up with a man that owns a warehouse over off of Terry Smith over off of Bogard, and he has a storage warehouse facility that we are moving into to ramp up broiler production. And so we have 700 to 800 broilers coming in every month through August.
Wow. That is so incredible. So this week, if a person wanted to try a Matsu Farm Co-op broiler, a meat bird, could they get one? Could they get their hands on them now over at the Colony Farmers Market?
Yes, I have a few left. We're waiting on more stock to come in.
Okay. That is so exciting. So you go to the grocery store, you buy chicken. Americans are very accustomed to buying chicken breasts or chicken legs or whatever piece of the chicken that they want. How does your chicken come packaged?
Our chicken is packaged whole at this point. As soon as we get our certified kitchen, that might change based on what customers' needs are. But we just, you know, package a whole broiler at right now.
Yeah. Awesome. Which is also, from my experience, very fun to cook with and is these free-range birds, these birds that are raised in a kind of a non-conventional way, the meat is so incredible. And you and I talked about this a while ago, how it's just, I mean, I don't want to scare people off that it doesn't, it's not like chicken. It's definitely chicken, but it's so much better than store-bought chicken, right?
Yeah, it's more chickeny.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to emphasize that a little bit. You said 700 to 800 broilers a month?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm getting them in every other week.
Every other week. And so you're not raising all of those birds on your own. This is part of the co-op as well. So.
Yes, we have 12 broiler growers on board, and we meet every couple weeks to, exchange data and talk about what needs to happen in the community, what our goals are. So, and those people came out of the co-op, you know.
The egg co-op.
Yeah. They were right on board with the next step.
Yeah.
Which is fun and
it's heartwarming,
really,
yeah.
You know. And so we're always looking for more co-op members. We have quite a few ideas coming on board for this fall. And anybody that wants to participate, you know, let's chat.
Again, yeah, Matsu Farm Co-op on Facebook or Google it and get connected to Rochelle to find out more information. That's just incredible. You know, one of my messages all the time wherever I am is that in Alaska, 95 to 98% of our food is imported, right? And so we're very dependent on the lower 48 for our food. But thankfully, there are people like you that are starting to produce more Alaskan food and people have more options. And I just can't encourage folks enough to look for local food, look for Alaska grown, and support people like you that are putting the time and effort into producing food in this state, because, you know, we don't need to be doomsdayers and talk about the what ifs, but, you know, what if? Where are we going to get food? You know, I mean, yeah, anyway. So that's incredible. I'm really glad that you guys are having success and that this boiler production model is coming on. That's incredible. Let's talk a little bit about that space, if you want to, about what all will that space over on Bogart allow for you guys?
It's almost the sky's the limit over there. They have dry storage, chill space, and high cube freezer space. Storage, the chill in the freezer is like walking into a Costco cooler. It's huge,
oh,
you know.
Wow.
So I just daydream about filling that up. You know?
Right.
We are looking into expanding that with other meat products and veggie products, and just giving it creating a space where local farmers can come and process their food and store it there at the facility.
Incredible. I think we're getting a call, Rochelle. This is exciting. Good morning. This is Amy with Ag Matters. Who have we got on the phone?
Good morning, Amy. It's Arthur.
Good morning. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I think I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. Go ahead. Is that Director Keys that I hear?
It certainly is.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
Very good. I just was listening to your show this morning, and what a great topic. Exciting.
Yeah.
And a question for Rochelle. I think I know the answer, but I'm kind of curious what she thinks. Where's the limit? How many dozen? What's the opportunity? How big do you think this is?
Well, I can tell you what my goals are. There is no limit. Alaskan food is the best. So, you know.
Yep. Well, that would be a really interesting question, Arthur. Who do you think could tell us how many eggs are imported into the state every week? Do you know this, Rochelle? Have you looked into it at all?
No, not at all.
I don't think they'd share that information.
They probably wouldn't, but I bet it's a lot, huh?
I bet it is too. I bet it is too. I did have a conversation with the state veterinarian, Bob Gerlach, and Rochelle, do you know how many birds got imported into the state of Alaska last year?
Yes, 150 or 160,000 birds.
So these are live baby birds, like, that people are growing out in Alaska? Is that what you guys are talking about?
Yes, layers or broilers. The previous year was about 60,000, and the year before that was like 14,000.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. We need to make an infographic about that. I can just see it already. I can picture it in my mind. Like, look at what Alaskans are doing. Eat local chicken. Yeah. Yep. It's.
That's. I found those numbers to be pretty impressive. And, you know, the whole, you know, I grew up raising chickens. We had probably 20 or 30 birds in our backyard. And I could see these numbers just going right through the roof. And I think it's pretty awesome. Good job, Rochelle.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Arthur. Have a great day.
Yep. Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow. So 2 years ago, 14,000, or no, 3 years ago, 14,000, then up to 60,000, and then this last year, 150,000 birds.
Yeah, something like that.
That is incredible. What other segment of industry or economy in this state has seen that kind of growth, you think? I bet nothing. Wow. I can't wait to make an infographic.
And what's great about chickens is, you know, anybody can grow chickens. I mean, I have customers in Anchorage that, you know, grow out their own little broilers in their, you know, backyard and process their own food and put it in their freezer for the winter. And you know, anybody can grow birds. I think that's part of the growth.
What do you think the biggest hindrance to it is? Like, I have this vision on our farm up on the mountain. We had chickens. Tommy's grandfather had chickens for a while. And what it did on our place was it brought in other animals like weasels, and actually even 1 year we had a black bear come down and get into the chicken pen. And so to me, it was like, well, if you have chickens, then you're going to have these pest problems, right? So what would you say is the number one issue?
What I've found with the co-op is it's very regional. It depends on where you live. I'm up towards Hatcher's Pass and do not have a lot of predatory issues. I keep roosters, though.
So they would let you know if anything.
No, they run them off.
Oh, okay.
So, and I have turkeys and big toms. You know, not a lot touches down in my yard.
Okay.
You know, I don't have a lot of ground predators, but you know, some of my co-op members in the Butte, they have more aerial issues.
Yeah.
A lot of bird people have, if they have a lot of ground predators, they use a hot wire around the outside of the fence.
Okay.
You know,
so it's all manageable, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good. So we are just about towards the end of the show, and I've been thinking about my funny chicken story. So when I'm the baby of my family, and when I went away to college, my mom had empty nest syndrome really bad, and she replaced me. First, she tried a dog. And she kind of had this vision of a lap dog, and she ended up with like a 90-pound Bouvier. And so that didn't really work. So then she got chickens. And I remember when I came home from college and I was like, Mom, what is going on with all these chickens? She was like, well, Amy Renee, I need someone to talk to in the evenings and the chicken. Anyway, the funny part of the story is that she asked me, or I was home visiting, so I had, you know, very few of my own clothes and shoes and whatever, and I wanted to go out and talk to my horse in the pasture, and so I just pulled on my mom's rubber boots, and she had these yellow rubber boots that she wore. Well, I was about halfway across the barnyard, and all of a sudden, the chickens were, like, attacking me. Like, they just came from everywhere, and I was freaking out. Like, what are they doing? And my mom was watching from the kitchen window, just laughing hysterically because the chickens were used to seeing her in those yellow boots. And they thought I was her with, you know, the food bucket in the evening. So,
treats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's my funny chicken story. But okay. So egg production and broiler production and the Mattsu Farm Co-op is expanding. This is just incredible. What else do you want to share with folks before we wrap up? We've just got probably a couple minutes left. 1 minute.
I'm always open for customer response and discussing local food production. I get phone calls periodically from our customers and people that just want to chat about, you know, local food production. I'm always there to field questions, and that's part of my job.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on Ag Matters this morning. It's been incredible, and I cannot wait to get my hands on one of those broiler birds. So thanks, Rochelle. Go check out Mattsu Farm Co-op online and eat local eggs and chicken, right?
right?
Yeah.
Okay.